Welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 203. And coming up on this one, a little back-to-back action for the Leafs, an impressive 6-3 win over the Oilers and a not-so-great performance in Carolina, lose a 2-1. Should Sheldon Keefe have put Brody back in the lineup so soon? We're going to talk about that. What exactly is going on with the Mitch Marner injury? And we got two segments tonight, just the tip, a great one. And hot in the slot, hit the shower. It's been a long time since we did that. That's coming up on 203 of the Tip In podcast.
Chatty, looks to me like the Leafs took one look at Rod the Bod Brind'Amour this evening and said, no, thank you. Not interested tonight. Holy moly. Yeah, brother, let's hit the intro.
Tavares coming out, sends it in a boat. They score!
Welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. I'm Chad.
Dale.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Tip In Podcast on TikTok. Tip In Pod on Twitter. Email us tipinpodcast@gmail.com. So, Dale, how's it going?
Yeah.
Good weekend. Good. How do you like these 6 o'clock starts?
Love them.
Yeah.
Actually, well, love them.
I kind of like it on a Sunday night ending early.
Don't mind a 6 p.m. start. I'll tell you that much. Before we get cooking here, Chad, do you want to just say, because I would like to get some people's feedback on this, do you want to mention what we were talking about, not last podcast, but what we've been talking about since then, about potentially a new podcast time going forward? Do you want to mention that and then
what
we've been thinking about? Or
so instead of doing the podcast right after the games, we're going to be doing it the day after the games. So whenever there's a game the next night, and it's always going to be at 7 p.m. So we'll go live on YouTube at 7 p.m. at that time, and then the podcast will be available for download after that and the following day. It just seems like it'd be better for us than there's so many podcasts that are going live right after the game. It's just not really helping us out. So we thought we'll just do the next day, 7 o'clock. That'll be the time. Check it out if you want to. Download it later if you want to.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, just quickly on this, like, you know, if we're doing live post game shows, we're going head to head against the Sportsnet show that they do post game, which is obviously, I mean, like, we can't compete. We're a little mom and pop operation here. We can't compete with the Sportsnet post game, but would like to still get the viewers' thoughts on, like, do you think that's the right call, guys? Like, should we keep doing post game, like right after the games, or should, like Chad just said, should we switch to post game?
I don't think it really matters. I think it's our call. It's our show.
It is, but I'm just interested to see what people think. Like,
for sure.
Do you think we should leave your comments down below on YouTube? Would love to know. Do you think we should keep doing post game shows after the game, or potentially move to the night right after the game and do a 7 p.m. show where no one else is doing anything Leafs, and maybe the Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast can, like, start to own that time frame? We'll see. So that's what we're thinking right now. We're just throwing some ideas around, potentially doing 7 p.m. live streams the night after the games. So leave your comments down below. Would love to know what you guys think about that. The right call, the wrong call. I don't know. Hard to compete with Sportsnet, like I said. Anyway, we'll see. We're probably going to do it anyway, but I'm just curious, Chad, as to see what people think or whatever. Anything off the top? Anything off the top?
No, let's get into it. We got a lot to talk about.
Well, I'll tell you right now. Sheldon Keefe says Samsonov is fine, but it did not look good in last night's game against the Edmonton, on Saturday night's game against the Edmonton Oilers. Little cross crease groin looked like to me. I thought, okay, this guy has completely blown his groin wide open. Forget about it. Put a fork in it. Done. Forget about it. Keith says, not that bad. Probably won't miss any game action. Surprised by that, because it looked a little more to me like there was some serious groin play going down.
It did. It looked like he couldn't even put any weight on his groin.
No.
Just gliding off the ice. It did look serious, but I saw that. I saw Keefe say that he won't miss any game action and he's going to be good to go. Did find it interesting, speaking of goalies, that they flew Joseph Woll down early before the team. Did you know that? They were talking about that.
They did that the last time they did it as well, because now they're starting to utilize the three goalies. The last time
I think it's great.
They did the same thing. Like when they remember when we were like, I was texting him like, where's Joseph Woll? When Jones backed up, I can't remember, it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And
like he was in Washington, wasn't he?
In Washington. That's right. In Washington. So I'm like, where's Joseph Woll? And like, yeah. So now because they like have kept the three goaltenders, they're starting to kind of utilize it. Like, yeah, you go down, get a good night's sleep. Don't worry about like taking the pregame skate or sitting on the bench or anything like that. So get a good night rest and we'll see you tomorrow. And guess what? Even though they lost this game tonight, he was the only reason they were fucking even in it.
Yeah, I think it's a genius move. If you have the three goalies, use it. It's a great move. I just found it kind of odd because you don't hear that too often. But
anyway. Love it. Analytics. But so anyway, all right. Yeah, like I don't wish anything bad on Samsonov. Like I want Woll to be the guy here, but I hope Sammy's okay and we'll see what happens. But something that caught me a little off guard tonight on the broadcast was Cuthbert says about halfway through the second period, he's like, yeah, the Leafs have the best record against the Western Conference from any Eastern Conference team. The Leafs have the best record against the Western Conference, any Eastern Conference team. Did you catch him say that?
I did catch him say that. And I had heard that before, actually.
That's kind of, I don't know. What do you, and I don't know what the record was. Like, we're not super analytics. Well, I shouldn't say that. We are pretty hard analytics guys here, but we're not like, you know, we can go both ways. It doesn't have to be all about analytics here, but 26, like 6-something is like the record against the West this year. That's pretty fucking crazy.
It's insane.
Holy fuck. I was thinking back to the days of like, okay, well, the Leafs used to play in the Western Conference. Like, maybe we want to take a little switch back here or what? Because I don't love their play against the East teams. I'll tell you that much. Holy fuck. Oh,
God.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those odd stats. Can't really explain it. I don't know why it is that way. It's kind of like how they don't play good against bottom feeder teams out of the playoffs. But they can go to the West and clean up. I don't know. Yep. Maple Leafs.
This year, they have been a little better against like the bottom feeders, but
still, they've blown a lot of games to Chicago, Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, sure. 100%, man. So, all right. So, right to the Oilers game here or what?
Yeah, let's get into her.
All right. So, a 6-3 Saturday night win against the Connor McDavid Edmonton Oilers. Did not see that coming, especially because the Leafs had a 5-0 fucking lead in this game. They gave up 3 goals in the third period. Didn't love that, but I don't know. I mean, that was pretty impressive, right? Like, do you want to give your thoughts on it before we go to, obviously we're going to go just the tip on Nylander here, but do you want to give your thoughts on it?
I thought the first two periods against Edmonton were probably some of the best periods they played all year. Like defensively, offensively, everything was going good for them. They were holding the Oilers like at bay, especially McDavid, keeping them to the outside. It just looked great. And I understand why they took their gas off. You have a 5-0 lead going into third. You got to play Carolina the next day at 6:00.
Yeah, but it's Edmonton, man. You can't give these guys up.
I know you don't want to do it, but I understand the mentality behind letting your foot off the gas, or even Keith being like, you know what? I'm going to try and, you know, cut back the minutes on some of the guys. We got a 5-0 lead. We'll be okay. But then they started to creep back into it. I was like, hold the horses here, baby.
Do you think, was there any part of you that was like, when that third goal went in, when Samsonov like clearly pulled his groin or whatever, maybe he didn't, whatever, it looked like whatever. Yeah, was there any part of you that thought like, okay, wait a second. He's just given up 3 goals in the third here now. I'm talking about Samsonov. He sees the direction this is heading and he just wanted to get the fuck out of there.
A part of me, I always think that when a goalie lays on the ice after a goal is scored, like especially because 5 minutes before that, the fans were chanting his name. They were doing the Sammy chant, and then it was bing, bang, boom, 3 quick goals. And you kind of think that when he's laying on the ice. You just kind of think that. You're like, are you really hurt? Or are you just like, oh, get me out of here before this.
It crossed my mind. I'm like, does this guy see the direction this game's heading? And he's just like, I don't want to be in net to like let this fall apart on me. Like when they start coming back all the way. Because Edmonton had just scored 5 goals in the third period the previous game before they played the Leafs. And it looked like it was starting to happen again. So Sammy might have just been like, eh. Especially when I hear today Keith being like, no, I'm not that serious, like he's all good, like whatever. I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck, man? The guy just takes himself out of the game. Like, I don't know, a little bit of a Freddie Anderson moment there for me, but anyway, it's all good, whatever. They get the 6-3 victory. Let's go to just the tip here for Nylander, and then we'll get to a few more things from this game, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's time for just the tip.
Perhaps play a little game called just the tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels.
How about we play a little game called Just the Tip?
Ba-dum-bum.
This was wild.
This tip, I mean, this tip.
Maybe the best of the season.
When you shove your shaft right between your legs and you tip it in from behind, you're not even looking at your target. That's an unbelievable tip. I didn't know Willie had it in him to tip like that.
Oh, what? Come on. Really?
I didn't know. Not like that.
Liljegren lets it go from the point. It hits Nylander's shaft off his skate.
No, did it hit his skate?
It was a double tip, Chad.
Oh, was it?
Shaft.
I thought he lifted his skate and let it fly.
No. It hit the stick, hit his skate into the fucking net. But
okay.
It was a double tip.
It was a double tip.
It's incredible to see. This was just one of the best tips you're going to see. It was because it was a hard shot from Liljegren, but Nylander was just like, no, I got this. And Nylander's not a guy. Like, we've been doing this for a long time here. Like, literally, our show is called The Tip-In, folks, okay? Like, we've been doing this for a long time. Nylander's not a guy that really is in the front of the net area when it comes to point shots and getting the fucking stick or anything on it. So he's not a regular on this segment by any means, but that was one of the best tips I've ever seen.
Unreal.
Just, I'll give the final thoughts to you, but I have to just say, like, listen, anybody who doesn't know, you better know now. The tip in, putting the fucking blade or the shaft on the puck, however you want to do it, in front of the net, and you tip that puck in, the greatest play in the history of professional sports. I don't care what sport you're talking about. There is nothing like a tip in. Do you not agree, Chad?
100%. Amen. Nothing, amen, brother. Amen.
Nothing like it. The greatest play in all of professional sports. And what a tip in that was.
That was great.
Bobby McMahon and Pontus Holmberg, they decide to get on the board with a 2-pack each. Maybe a little more on one of those guys later. We'll see. We got another Seggy coming up. But I'll tell you right now, both impressive. Both Holmberg goals were impressive, and both McMahon goals were impressive. I'll also say that I thought Edmondson was a fucking beast in that game.
Yeah, he was. He was fired up.
Oh, my God. Best game by a Leaf, or his best game as a Leaf since he's come in, since the trade deadline, by a mile. He was hammering everything. He was going after McDavid, Draisaitl, Nurse. He's like, I don't give a fuck. Let's go. Any one of you. I just love his game on Saturday night. Tonight, we'll get to that. Just everybody not the best. But quickly, I'll recap it. Like, Liljegren, I thought, has looked a lot better lately. How much of that does that have to do with him playing with Edmondson? And just your overall thoughts on kind of, you know, McMahon, Holmberg, Edmondson, Liljegren, Saturday night in general.
Yeah, I thought, like I said, I thought the first two periods were great. Edmondson had a beast of a game, hitting everything, kind of what we needed. Like, that's what this blue line's kind of been missing. If he can bring that in the playoffs, it's something that we really need. Luke Shen kind of brought it last year, but he was crazy last night. He was so fired up. I loved it. And him playing with Liljegren, I think Liljegren has looked really good for the past few games. And I don't know, maybe it's playing with Edmondson, but it might just be that Liljegren kind of feels more comfortable with. I know it sounds bad, but sometimes when a guy's struggling like Brody and the spotlight comes off of you, then you don't have that pressure on you anymore, and you can kind of go out and just play. And I think with the whole Brody thing, it might have taken the spotlight off of Liljegren and he can just go out and play. I don't like him on the power play, but we'll talk about that another time.
Yep.
But yeah, and Holmberg, it was a good move to throw him up to the top line, I thought. I didn't think Nyes had it, so it was a good switch.
A couple incredible goals by Holmberg.
Yeah, and then Bobby McMahon, man. More on him later. We'll just say that. 100%. More on Bobby McMahon later.
100%. Anyway, I didn't love giving up three goals in the third period, but a 5-0 lead, you know, overall, not a lot of complaints there. I will give a shout out to anything else on the Edmonton game before we move to Carolina.
No, good game.
I will give a shout out to our boy, Zach Hyman, who scored his 49th goal last night on Saturday night against his former team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he pocketed his 50th goal this evening against the Ottawa Senators. Zach Hyman, $5.5 million Zach Hyman, too rich for Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just completely out of the fucking price range, right? To keep this guy around. 50 fucking goal scorer. Too rich. 5.5. Oh, just like it drives me insane.
I know. But let's be honest though. You saw the stat they showed on the broadcast last night about his career high goals.
Sure.
I mean, no one saw this coming, a 50 goal scorer. But I think what it does is it kind of, and this is anything in life, but when a guy has Zach Hyman's work ethic, you don't give up on someone like that.
No.
Because he just keeps getting better and better. It's kind of all the power to Zach Hyman. So wish he was still a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yeah, like forget about the 50 goals. Like how many, which incredible. Congratulations to him. It's absolutely incredible.
Like, if I had told you at the start of the year, if I was like, do you want to bet $100 Hyman scores 50 goals? You'd be like, I'll take that bet every day of the week because you would think he would not score 50 goals.
100%. Absolutely. But what I would say about Hyman, and the last thing I'll say on him, and then you whatever, is that like how many shows did we used to do? How many podcasts did we used to do where every fucking show we were talking about this guy's effort, not only every night, but every shift? Yeah. We were like Hyman again, one of the only guys going every shift. Yeah. So hasn't changed. So forget about the goals. Like it's great. He scored 50 goals. That's absolutely fucking incredible. Like look back on when he's done and all that, but take away the goals. I don't give a shit about the goals. Like you were saying, the way he plays, you don't give this guy, you don't let this guy go for $5 million. That's insane. No. You make another roster move and find $5 million to keep Zach Hyman. I'm sorry. Like,
no, it was a big mistake by Kyle Dubas. And I will, we give Babcock shit. And I've said this before in the podcast, but you have to give him credit. When they traded for this guy and he put him on the top line, everyone's like, what the hell is this guy doing? And he's like, he is a bulldog and he gets, remember he used to always be like, he goes and gets the puck. And he wasn't wrong. He saw something in Hyman that nobody saw at the time. And Dubas didn't see it either because he doubled down on skill and talent, more talented players instead of giving Zach Hyman the $5 million.
The absolute wrong call.
Totally the wrong call.
Love Hyman. On this show, we always have, we always will, even though he's playing out west now, but just a terrible, terrible decision by the management team at that time.
We'll never let it go. We've talked about it so much.
He just scored his 50th fucking goal. Like, it's just terrible. For a $5 million player banging in fucking 50 goals. Like, I'm sorry. Like, anyway, okay, whatever.
Yep.
Congratulations, Zach Hyman. You deserve it.
Yep, but we still had Kerfoot and Hall, so that's good.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God, I can't believe you just said that.
I'm just saying. Oh, my God. I'm just saying, those guys stuck around.
You take their money and you give it to Hyman, and then it's over right there. Like, you're just,
no, I know.
It's over right there. But, all right, anyway, we'll move on. They go into Carolina, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? A 2-1 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Labushkin returns to the lineup, and Sheldon Keefe decides to fucking put TJ Brody back in. And guess what happens here, Chad? Surprise, surprise. First shift that Brody's back on the ice. The puck is in the back of the Leafs fucking net. Was it all Brody on this play? No, it wasn't. But Was he on the ice with McCabe and did not look good? Yes. And guess what? He was also on the ice for Carolina's second fucking goal and looked even worse.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. To healthy scratch him two straight games, I was kind of surprised a little bit that he was still healthy scratched in the Edmonton game. I wanted it. I'm just surprised that Keith did that.
I thought it was too.
I thought it was the right call. But then all of a sudden, here we go tonight. Like, they're coming off a big 6-3 win. And then, okay, you got Brody that you could or could not put back in there. Babushkin's healthy. I understand getting him back in there. Why the fuck? You need to take Benoit out to put fucking Brody back in? Like, you can't. 4 days isn't enough. This guy's head is fucked. Between the ears, mentally, TJ Brody is not, like, I don't know what's going on there. Mental health is a serious thing. I don't know how much that is playing into his play on the ice. It's got to be something to do with it. I don't want to get into a whole mental health thing here.
I think that's a little bit of it. I think it's age, too.
His game is just...
He's way past his prime, so his game's going to slip, and I think that with his confidence...
He's only in his early 30s, Chad.
I know, but that's old now in today's NHL.
He's basically the same age as Tavares.
I know, but it's a different... Like, playing defense is different, and TJ Brody was never, you know, the star player Tavares was when he was younger. It's just... His age, I think the confidence is the biggest thing.
Ugh.
And, like, he's not a big spotlight guy. Here he is in Toronto, which is, like, reporters everywhere. Your name is being talked about all the time. Your game is being ripped apart on radio, on newspapers, TV, everything. It's just, I think you're right. I think 4 days wasn't enough. He needed to step out of the spotlight to the point where people just kind of forgot about him and stopped talking about him.
Similar to the Samsonov thing?
Yeah, just kind of, like, cool it around Brody and let him get his game back and then bring him back. But I told you, Keith loves TJ Brody.
I know.
I'm just very surprised he didn't play in the Edmonton game.
Yeah, me too. So, listen, we're not done with Brody here this evening, folks, but I will say this. So how many this was like, they just were not ready to go here. Like, maybe they were thinking like, oh, okay, we just smoked the Oilers. Like, we'll go into Carolina and like, whatever, fucking dog walk it. Like, I don't know.
I did you not think that they weren't going to the 6 o'clock start is a 23 hour turnaround from the puck drop of the Edmonton game. I knew they were going to be sluggish and lazy. Like, they're sluggish and lazy on the best of days.
Yeah.
They're going to be sluggish and lazy to start a game 23 hours later.
You're not wrong. I thought maybe because of the last time they played Carolina and how that went, that they might show up with like a bit better fucking effort here to start. But no, of course not. Anyway, how many 2-on-1s
in the
first period alone? Like, literally 5 2-on-1s for the Hurricanes, including when the Leafs were on the power play, like shorthanded chances. Like, they were just all fucking over them. I could not believe the amount of 2-on-1 chances. Anyway, couple quick things to wrap up this game, and then final thoughts to you on the Carolina game this evening. Robertson does get them back in it to make it 2-1 in the third. And that is why I believe this guy needs to be in the lineup, because he can bury it timely goals. You're going to need that in the playoffs. I know, kind of in the doghouse at times this season. For me, Robertson's a guy. He can clearly put the puck in the fucking net. You're going to need that in the playoffs. For me, he's in the starting lineup game one. We'll see how that goes. I'm not convinced that Keith will do that, but for me, whatever. Keep that in mind as I quickly wrap this here. So the power play again, like, look, for me, it's bottom line. The power play tonight, just dead in the fucking water. You put pressure on the Leafs when they are on the power play and they fucking collapse dead. Like, why can't the coaches adapt to this? Because you know what's coming. And like, in the playoffs, to me, that is a very concerning thing. Like, you pressure the Leafs hard on the power play and they are fucking toast. Like, am I wrong?
No, I mean, that's how it looks on the ice. That's kind of the same with any power play. If you pressure any power play, that's how you beat it. That's how you kill it.
They just look fucking like the amount of money that's out there on the power play. And when a team like Carolina pressures them hard on the penalty kill, they just look like fucking lost.
Yeah.
Like, they can't make a play.
Yeah. They're not moving.
It's very concerning.
Yeah, it is very concerning. The penetrating, as she says, penetrating the blue line is just awful. Like, I get why they do the slingshot. They throw it back and then they try to bring it in and spread out or whatever.
Yeah, puck possession.
A lot of sexual terms all in one sentence there, but
yeah,
they just, they're not very good at doing it. So maybe try something else.
And well, why? That's the whole thing. Why can't why can't they adapt? Why can't they do? Why they don't seem good at adapting?
I don't know. Why are none of the reporters asking the coaching staff or asking the coach after the game?
Too many lob balls.
So
from these guys, way too many. Anyway,
yeah. They are scoring. They're scoring on the power play. Like they've got power play goals. They didn't get one tonight, but they scored in the Edmonton game. They scored in the game before. Like they've been getting power play goals. But you're right. It just doesn't look great. It doesn't look playoff ready at all.
No, it doesn't. So I'll finish my thoughts on the Carolina game, and then you give me your final thoughts on it. And to backtrack to the Edmonton game for a second on Saturday, like I didn't think the Leafs looked like the puck was going in and like things were going their way for the most part in that game. I didn't think Edmonton played that well on Saturday night. So like I'm not giving like a pass. I'm just saying like it kind of was what it was. Carolina, on the other hand, tonight they're just like boom, boom, boom. Here we go. Like fucking just all over them. But
Carolina was ready. The Leafs weren't ready.
So I'm going to wrap it up on this with the Carolina game, and then you give me your final thoughts on it.
Yeah, man.
I thought Joseph Woll gave them a chance. I know a couple goals went in early, but he was awesome after that. The only reason I think they were even in it was Joseph Woll. Without him, forget about it. This game could have been 4-1, 5-1, 6-1. It could have been a goddamn fucking disaster. Woll ends up making 41 saves. This game is not 2-1 without Joseph Woll. And the last thing I'll say, and then I'll throw it to you to give your final thoughts on this game this evening, is to me, it looked like one of these teams was in playoff mode already. And the other team, not even close. Can you guess who that was? Like,
no, I don't have a guess.
But your overall thoughts on that? Woll, like just the overall
I thought Woll played really good. He kept them in it. The Leafs look tired. They look sluggish. They didn't look good. And I think they had like 14 shots on net and the game was half over. They were doing one and done plays. They were coming in, taking a shot. That was it. There was no drive in the net. There was no scrambles. There was no rebounds. There was no pressure in Carolina's zone until the third period. Then they kind of tried to get back into it. I will say it's good they didn't get shut out. So that streak stays alive, which is nice.
Sure.
And on the other hand, it's a Sunday back-to-back game against Carolina.
Chad,
I'm not gonna say anything about it. They should still show up and they should still win or whatever, but I'm not gonna lose any sleep over this game. I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever.
No,
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's gonna happen.
Yep. All right. Second segment of the evening.
Oh, right. Yeah, we have another segment tonight. We are gonna do. Are you ready for this? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Hot in the Slot or Hit the Showers.
He's so hot right now. All right, goddammit, let's hit the shower, goddammit.
All right, for those of you who don't know how this segment works for Hot in the Slot and Hit the Showers, is we're going to pick somebody who needs to hit the showers. It could be a player, coach, anybody to do with the Leafs. Somebody, and this doesn't mean anything bad. You just need sometimes it does. Well. But it just means like, you know, you need to hit the showers and take a breather for a minute. And then Hot in the Slot, that's self-explanatory. I mean, who's on a tear right now?
What do you want to do first?
It's up to you. Negative, I think we're both going to pick the same guy for hot.
Probably. We'll probably pick the same guy for... What do you want to do first? Negative or positive? You pick, whatever.
Let's do positive first.
Okay. You want to go ahead?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same dude. I'm sure it is. But maybe not.
Well, I thought he had a good week.
Our boy,
undrafted... The pride of Alberta, Canada, Bobby McMahon. That's who I picked. Is that who you got?
Yeah. And we did not talk about that. We never tell each other beforehand, by the way. We just we just think alike sometimes when it comes to this hockey team. So
okay. Jack Eichel's long lost brother had 3 goals this week.
a better mustache, though.
A way better mustache. But he had 3 goals this week. He just always seems to be around the puck. The good things seem to happen when Bobby McMahon's on the ice.
Dude.
I said it before. I have a funny feeling Bobby McMahon is going to score a big goal in the playoffs. I don't mean like a Stanley Cup winning goal, but maybe he wins a game in overtime or something like that. Dude. Just has that feel about him this year.
dude, this guy has found it. Like, go back to when Mitch and JT were sick. McMahon was going to be was that before Christmas or sometime in January? I don't even know, but he was going to be, it wasn't that long ago. And he was going to be a healthy scratch that night, McMahon. And who knows what would have happened if he would have been a healthy scratch that game. But guess what? He plays that game. He buries a fucking hat trick. And then he just hasn't fucking let up since. He's a power forward on this fucking team. He's got the touch to bury the puck, obviously. He's physical on the body. There's nothing I don't like about this guy, including his wonderful, beautiful mustache.
There you go.
Hot in the slot.
There you go.
Our boy.
Bobby McMahon.
Man.
Love it.
Oh, God. All right. You want me to go first here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hit the showers. Two gentlemen this evening. I'm sorry. Not going to pin it all on TJ Brody, but you're going to the showers, Brodes. Sorry. Can't pin it all on you, but it's got to be partially on you. And I'm sorry, Sheldon Keefe, both of you, the coach and number 78 in the fucking showers, because I don't think Sheldon should have put him back in this early. Should have kept him out a lot longer because he needs way more of a mental fucking reset than a two games. No, sorry. Like, I would have put it into next weekend, man. Like, sorry. Sheldon Keefe, you're in the showers big time for putting Brody back so early. And Brody, to me, looked fucking terrible. It might have been one of his, like, he didn't come back and play well. He came back and looked like shit.
He kind of just looked the same.
He might have looked a little bit worse. And that is terrible to say, but it's fucking true. Nothing against TJ Brody as a dude. I know he's had some shit in his personal life and all that. None of this is about that. Just on the ice play, what we're talking about here, like business decisions, hockey decisions. I'm sorry, Sheldon Keefe, for putting him back in too soon. And honestly, Sheldon Keefe for not taking him out soon enough. He should have been out of this lineup long ago to get a fucking break, but he puts him back in and he just looks terrible again. I'm sorry. Keefe, Brody, hit the showers. Maybe you give yours, and then maybe we'll do a little Eddie Belfour sitch about how they can fix this potentially.
Well, like, I was going to say TJ Brody, but I knew that you would say TJ Brody or that we were going to talk about him.
How can you on the podcast? How can you not?
I thought I'd go off the board a little bit.
I'm going to be surprised by this.
And this is a guy we don't talk about on this podcast.
I can't wait to see who this is going to be, because who's played bad?
Oh, this guy doesn't. He's not on the ice. This guy stands beside Sheldon Keefe, Mr.
If you say, Dean? If you
Chenault.
My God.
The guy who is in charge of the team's penalty kill. Now, I know we're missing. I know we're missing Yarncroc. We're missing Marner.
We're missing
key pieces to the penalty kill.
Yep.
But this guy has been in charge of the
penalty. Boucher gets a pass in, too. Why don't you put them both in?
Well, we could throw Boucher in, too, because the power play doesn't look great. But this, I'm just like, penalty kill is something where, yeah, you need the people to do it. Like, power play, you got to have skill. But with penalty kill, you can come up with a system. You can just have the right people. They don't need to be stars to do it. And this guy just can't figure it out.
I know. He used to coach in Carolina.
I know. I don't know what it is, but I just thought maybe Dean needs to go in, have a shower with Keefe, with Brody, with Belfour.
I think I know, before we talk about what Belfour needs to do with all four of these guys, I think. Guy Boucher.
We're throwing him in. Yeah, everybody's going in.
Like, everybody, there's four guys in the showers tonight. But, like, oh, man, I thought just for a second, I don't know why I thought this, but, like, I thought for a second you might go right off the board and say Matt Murray. Like, I know he has, apparently.
Well, where is he?
Well, he's skating, apparently. He wouldn't be eligible to return until the playoffs because of the salary cap situation.
Do you remember, we did a podcast like a couple years ago, and just as a joke beforehand, we decided to pick Zaitsev as our hot in the slot hit the showers. We decided to pick Zaitsev as hit the showers after he had been traded.
Oh, yes.
Ottawa or whatever. And we did it as a joke, and we were like, where is he? You can't even find him on the ice or whatever. Yeah. And the comments were all just like, you guys are fucking idiots. He got traded, you morons.
No. Like, we didn't know that.
Like, we didn't know.
Come on. Okay, but Chad, why don't you tell the folks listening what needs to happen to get these four, three of the coaching staff, the head coach and two of the assistants are in the showers as well as Brody. Why don't you tell everybody what needs to happen in the showers for them?
Well, what happens in the, so Ed Belfour, no matter home or away, is just always in the showers with the Leafs. That's just how it is. We don't know why. That's just the way
he loves a hot shower.
So he has a,
but what does he like wear? Like, what?
Well, he
like,
just wears a leather jacket and he brings it like, those old fashioned shower radios that hang on the nozzle there, hang on the faucet. He has one of those. He puts on some tunes. He soaps up and he soaps up. He says, you guys want a beer? Reach in the pocket, grab a beer out of his leather jacket. Sometimes you get a beer. Sometimes you get a bald eagle. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But he just relaxes you, and then you just talk it over.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Then you just talk it over, and that's it.
Yeah. So that's, I agree. That's what needs to happen there. So we haven't done that one in a while, but totally agree. So we ended up putting three people in the shower and one person not. But that's interesting. I think that's probably the first time ever we've done that, but I love that. Oh. Anyway, that's the segments for tonight. Last thing I'm going to say here, Chad, is 12 games left now.
Yep.
Mitch Marner.
Yeah, man.
So much for being day today. When the high ankle sprain / groin injury first came into play, Sheldon Keefe was like, he's day to day. Couple days later, he comes out. He's like, well, he's day to day away from being day to day. What? What the fuck does that mean?
He's day to day away from.
Did you not catch him saying that?
60%, 100%. That's what
90%.
90%, 100%. That's 60% of the time it works every time.
Sex Panther. 100%.
So he's day to day from being day to day.
He just keeps saying that. Well, he's not skating, like, or he is skating, but he's only skating on his own. He's not practicing with the team. So all of a sudden now with 12 games left, I'm like, okay, like being serious here, like a high ankle sprain.
It's not, it's a serious injury.
It can't be like, I mean, were they prepped by management or like, did Keith think it, or maybe they thought initially it was like not that serious, but now it is becoming a little bit more concerning, yeah. More serious. What are your thoughts on this whole thing? The way they've kind of treated it with the media, how they're treating it behind the scenes. Like, what are your, like, how concerned are you with like Mitch maybe can't go?
Well, I think he'll be ready to go. I think it's more serious than they're letting on. Otherwise they would show him. Like, they don't show him skating. They don't show him doing anything. Mitch doesn't talk to the media.
I just want to say, Chad, before you continue, he's now missed 8 straight games.
Yeah.
From day to day to now missed 8 straight.
The thing
games.
That bothers me about it is I wish, like, if you're going to do this, Mitch, like, if you're going to hurt yourself, do it before the trade deadline so we can put you on IR and use that money and then you back like the Tampa Bay Lightning do and then bring you back game one of the playoffs. Like, we could have used that $10.5 million at the trade deadline. That would have been sweet. But anyway, yeah, it's one of those things. Anytime in any sport that you don't talk to the player and he's day to day from being day to day, it's a little more serious than it is.
He hasn't said it. He hasn't done any media available.
That's what I mean. He's not talking. No. They're not showing him. Like, I haven't seen footage of him out skating or anything. They just say he's skating
by himself. We'll apparently.
See. We will see. But
it's concerning, is it not? Like, there's 12 games left here. Like, it's fucking concerning to me, I think. Like,
yeah, but I think at the same time, why? Like, just let him heal. Why? If he is close, or, you know, if the doctor's like, yeah, he could practice, but I would suggest giving him a few more days off or a week off or whatever, then do it.
Are high ankle sprains different? Like, Joseph Wall?
Yes, they're very, very different.
So from one person to another, like, depending on what? Okay. Because, like, Joseph Wall missed 2.5 months with a high ankle sprain, and we expect Mitch back in, what, a couple weeks? I'm just saying. Like, I'm not trying to throw a grenade from person to person.
Like, a high ankle sprain can be so different. It's such a weird injury, but we will see. But it doesn't look good that he's not talking to the media. And
he's not even practicing with the team. Like, I can't see him playing this. I can't see him playing this week again.
Yeah.
So, like, at the best, we're looking at the best coming back for the beginning of April.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's concerning to me, but we'll see what happens. You want to do any comments and we'll get out of here? That's all I got for tonight, Chad.
Yeah, we got some comments. So this is at the start of the show when we were talking about switching to the day after games at 7 p.m. And our buddy Spike, who always just seems to join us, he said, right call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, he likes that in the right call.
There's one for the game, the day after.
Yep. And then I also have another one from Spike. And we were talking about Dubas not signing Hyman. And he said, Dubas moved on from Kadri, Moore, Marchment, Hyman, and McCann. But yeah, he has no eye for work ethic. And that's kind of true. Anytime it was like, anytime with Dubas, it came down to skill or
speed and skill.
Yeah, if it came down to speed and skill versus work ethic or sort of a mucky type player like a Kadri, he moved on from it.
That's a great comment. He's not wrong on that.
And then Sir God says, is that a sweet? That's like a Swedish Canadian flag. He says, can you imagine if Matthews, and he's talking about Zach Hyman, had Zach Hyman's work ethic?
No, I couldn't.
Can you imagine any talented player with Zach Hyman's work ethic? It'd be unbelievable.
No. Yeah.
Tito Mike says we need to give Brody a year off.
Well, don't worry about that, because after the play, 12 games left for the regular season and then the playoffs, and then you'll never see TJ Brody in a Leafs jersey again. I guarantee you that.
And we were just talking about Marner, and I made a comment about it would have been nice to have his money at the trade deadline and then have him come back for game one of the playoffs.
My God, what they could have done with that money.
That's a good name. He says he was injured the day before the trade deadline. They missed the boat on that one. Well, we didn't know at the time.
Initially, day to day. And now he's missed 8 games. So,
he's day to day from being day to day.
Exactly. They could have LTIR'd him right until the playoffs and $10 million. Imagine what they could have done with it. The extra $10 million. They could have Vegas Knights this shit all the way to fucking the playoffs.
Last comment is Sir God's again. He said, is Dale effing with his camera set up to one up Chad? I think he's talking about the height difference, because I am lower than you.
I have it set to the absolute lowest that it can go. It would be up to you to bring it up. I can't go anywhere.
I'm in a bigger room, so I'm further back from my camera, and I have a big monitor. So it just sits on top of the monitor. And if I try to like lower it, it would be behind the monitor. So I'd have to get a smaller.
Yeah.
I'd have to get a smaller monitor to do it.
I cannot.
I'm kind of in a wide open room in the basement.
This is as low as I can sit with my current setup. I cannot possibly like it.
But
this
is it. But I'll work on it. I'll work on trying to get up to Dale's level.
I'm proportioned in the screen. Like my head doesn't go out of the screen.
I think he's just saying we should be eye to eye.
Okay. Well, I can't do anything.
No. It's me. I've got to bring it up. I've got to get it up. All right. I've been working on getting it up. I'm trying my best.
Not the first time I've heard that one.
For the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast, on TikTok, Tip in Podcast, and Twitter, Tip in Pod. Email us, tipinpodcast@gmail.com. And until our new time slot of 7 o'clock after games, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we will.
So we'll be back probably next game's Tuesday night, 7:30 start against New Jersey. So we'll be back, I guess, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Is that what we're going to try here, I think, this week?
That's what we're going to try.
Okay, so you got something else?
The comments that coming through that you're doing it on purpose to make me look small.
I am absolutely not. I've had my same frame set up for how many podcasts in a row? Like, it's like this is I can't get it I'll any say, lower.
Yeah,
I could sit lower. I could sit lower.
I'll just say Tito Mike. Like, I won't put the comment up, but I see it.
I could sit lower like this, and then that would do it. But like, I like to sit up in the chair, and like, so like, this is the frame. Whatever.
It's just it's all good. It's all for fun. It's all fun. All fun again. But anyway, until next time, we will.
Yeah, guys. Did you already do the outro shit or no?
Yeah, I did. You were talking, and I cut you off.
All right. Sorry, guys. All right, guys. Listen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. As always, really appreciate it on YouTube and the audio podcast platform, whatever you're listening on. Please like this video on YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We really need it, and it will really help us out. We would really appreciate it. Hey, go Leafs go. Going home to play New Jersey, I believe, on Tuesday night. We'll see you following that game.
Playoffs.
Oh, my God. 12 games left now. You could just... Suns staying up later.
Just want those goddamn playoffs to come.
Weather's like starting to turn a little bit here. Loving everything about it. We'll see how this puppy shakes down. Go Leafs, go guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening as always. And we'll catch you later.
Catch you later.